Good morning all, and welcome to our conference call in connection with the full year 2023 financial results of Lally Group, which we published earlier this morning. My name is Roger von der Weydt, and I'm here on the phone together with our CFO, Alexis Rubinstein, and our new CEO, Nina Müller. As we communicated in December, going forward, I will be focusing on my role on the board of directors as Executive Vice Chair after 18 years as Chief Executive, and I'm pleased to introduce you to Nina as my successor.
Thank you, Roger, and good morning to everybody on this call. It's a real pleasure for me to be here and to have this opportunity to connect with you and to share some exciting updates from the Lally Group. I would like to thank each of and every one of you for joining us today. Since assuming the role of CEO in February, I have visited many of our locations: our manufacturing sites in Wingen-sur-Moder, Uri, our subsidiaries in the U.K. and U.S., retail boutiques in Paris, London, Miami, and Zurich, and of course, I spent lots of time in our offices in Zurich and Paris. I will continue to explore the Lally universe, and my aim is to visit all operational entities in the first 6 months. So I have encountered and talked to as many people as possible, most importantly to my colleagues, to our employees, but also to customers and stakeholders. What I have experienced within our company is a very, very good team spirit. I feel a lot of passion and commitment to the brand and the general drive to move forward. I really continue to be inspired by the richness and the diversity of our people and of our business. I've been warmly welcomed, I would say, and I can honestly say that I already feel like home. The Lally Group is an incredibly exciting company, and I'm looking forward to working with my team to establish the Lally Group as a first-class player in the luxury goods market. We have a rich heritage, a diverse portfolio, and broad international presence to build on. So I see a huge potential to grow. Thanks for having me here. So let's move on to page number 2. As it is early days for me, just over 2 months ago at Lally, it will be Roger, Alexis, and myself to present the full year results of the Lally Group. Roger will start with a summary of the past year, then Alexis will provide a more detailed overview of the 2023 financial results, and I will then turn to our business priorities and the financial outlook. After the presentation, we will be happy to take your questions. I now hand over to Roger again for the first part. Thank you, Roger.
Okay, Nina, thank you. And to start, let me remind you that the slide presentation is available on the Lally Group website, and as usual, we will go slide by slide. So let's now go directly to page 4 of the presentation, which summarizes key takeaways for our business performance in the past years. In terms of growth, the group delivered a solid performance in 2023 despite a challenging market environment. Total sales amounted to 179 million euro, corresponding to a 5% growth compared to the previous year. All our segments contributed to this growth, which of course reflects the strength of our brand portfolio. That said, we were confronted with difficult production conditions, especially in the first half of the year. This included longer lead times for product components for our perfume lines in particular. In the first quarter of the year, unfortunately, we were also confronted with an electrodes manufacturing defect of our new melting furnace. And although our business performance improved in the seasonally stronger second half of the year, we could not fully compensate the shortfall from the first half. With regards to cost, it is no surprise that 2023 was characterized in particular by general inflation and significantly higher energy costs, which almost trebled. We managed to partially offset these inflation effects by price increases, albeit with certain delays for the various concerned businesses. Profitability at EBIT level amounted to 7 million euro in the period under review, with an EBIT margin of 3.9%. Net group profit was 2.4 million euro compared to 9.6 in the prior year. Based on these results, but also in view of further planned investments in our production capacity and new projects coming up in 2024 and 2025, the Board of Directors have decided to propose to the upcoming AGM, Annual General Meeting, on May 29th that no dividend be paid. With this, let's now turn to the next page, which summarizes key business developments in the past year. First, in our perfume business, we achieved solid growth overall, following the strong growth in the two previous years, 2022 and 2021. As mentioned before, perfume production, and thus our sales efforts as well, were temporarily affected by supply shortages for certain components. As a result, we significantly increased inventories over the course of the year, which obviously came at a price in terms of working capital. Second, our crystal business ended the year with good momentum, and we were very pleased to see that crystal sales saw a strong rebound in the second semester on the back of a high order backlog and increased capacity at the manufacturer, enabling more efficient and swifter product shipments. The third point I want to highlight is our sun protection brand Ultrasun, which continued to recover after the setback during the pandemic. In 2023, we achieved further growth, which was mainly driven by two of our key markets, namely the UK and Switzerland, as in the past. In addition, we saw a good momentum in Germany that we are eager to further build upon. Fourth, and turning to the whiskey distillery, the Glenturret, we saw continued strong whiskey sales, and the demand for the distillery's tourist and gastronomic offerings also developed well. Let me also highlight that our Glenturret La Ligue restaurant was awarded a second Michelin star in February 2024. As a last point on this slide, I'd like to highlight that we acquired a majority stake in the Chateau Laforie-Perregaux vineyard in the Sauternes appellation of Bordeaux last year. And similar to the Glenturret, the aim is to more closely integrate the vineyard into the world of La Ligue, leveraging synergies with its crystal glass and hospitality business. As you are certainly aware, of course, we have been operating a La Ligue hotel restaurant in the Vineries Chateau since 2018. And with this, let me now hand over to Alexis, who will give you a more detailed overview of our financial results in the past year.
Thank you, Roger, Nina. And also from my side, I would like to welcome you all to this conference call. So, to look at our full financial results, let's go to the page 7, where we can see an overview of our P&L for 2023. Here we see that the revenues went up by 5% and 6% if we exclude the one-off extraordinary income from 2022. But we will take a closer look at our top lines by segment in the slide that will follow. The gross profit margin decreased from 58% to 55.5%, reflecting the significant inflation, in particular with the energy cost, during the first half of 2023. And also, we had some, as Roger said, some issues with the crystal facilities and the electric furnace during the Q1. These issues have been solved during Q2 and allow to the crystal factory to recover very well during the second semester. In addition, as Roger said as well, the sales price increase was only effective during Q2 and Q3 and only partially offset the inflation of cost and energy cost during the first semester. Cost increase, personnel cost and cost increase reflect inflation, and as well the recruitment of staff in both factories in order to increase capacity during 2023. The depreciation amortization decreased in relation to the impairment reversal of 1.5 million related to the revaluation of La Forêt-Perregaux. The EBIT decreased down to 7 million compared to 13.2 million in 2022, including this reversal of impairment. The financial expenses went up in relation to the interest rate increase, as well as the increase in financial liabilities during 2023. With this, the net profit ended up at 2.4 million in 2023. So let's now turn to the page 8 with an overview of the result breakdown by our business segment and brands. So here you can see our performance by business segment and also the new segment created this year with the wine and spirit consisting in the whiskey distillery and also the newly acquired vineyards La Forêt-Perregaux SARL in November 2023. We see here that Lalique brand still represents 54% of the total business, and that the main contributors for the EBIT was again the perfume business, Jaguar, and the other brands. The other brand segments, which is now composed by Brioni, Bentley, Grey, Lalique Beauty Service, our perfume filling factory, Lalique Beauty Distribution, the company in charge of the distribution in France for perfume, also Lalique Tamer Beauty for the Middle East, and when we see that the Superdry license, Superdry and Mikimoto new license will be included in this segment all the brands in 24 and 25. So let's now move to the next slide, to slide 9, to take a closer look at our at the Lalique segment. Here the total operating revenues increased by 3%, 5% excluding the 1.7 one-off extraordinary result, and despite the perfume sales decreased by 5% due to the challenges we had in the Middle East distribution. Crystal sales increased by 5%, 7% excluding this one-off effect of 2022, across almost all markets, thanks to a strong performance of the factory during the second semester, after having resolved all the issues with the electric furnace. Hospitality grew by 16%, mainly driven by growth of the La Forêt-Perregaux Hotel Restaurants in Sauternes. Personnel cost increase reflect the inflation as well as the recruitment of staff for our production facility in Wingen, and cost increase reflects also the recent investment done in Wingen-sur-Moder in order to increase the capacity of our crystal factory. So after a very difficult first semester and Q1 in particular, Lalique achieved a 2.9 million EBIT during the last 6 months to end up with an EBIT of 1.2 million on a full year basis. With this, let's go now to the slide 10 with the ultrasound segment. We see here revenue went up to 16.4 million in 2023, plus 10%, especially thanks to the UK market, and despite the step back in the China related to the change in distributor in the region. So China will be again a strong driver for the growth in 2024. The gross profit margin rate slightly decreased in 2023, reflecting higher production costs, but as well the devaluation of the GBP against the CHF and Euro. Total costs have decreased by 3%, consequently reached 0.6 million compared to 0.5 million last year. So now let's go to the slide 11 and the Jaguar segment. Operating revenues increased by 7%, mainly to positive development in the DACH region, but also in all other markets. We have here decrease in gross profit margin, reflecting inflation and also production cost increase during the year 2023. Consequently, EBIT decreased to €2 million this year. Let's now turn to the slide 12 and the wine and spirits segment. So here the segment consisting in Glen Turret and the newly acquired La Foriperaga vineyards. The La Foriperaga vineyards contributed not materially this 2023 because it was the closing of the transactions was only done in November 2023. So the Glen Turret increased its revenue by 21%. Every department contributed to this performance: touristic activities, restaurant, wholesale, as well as retail, and private sales of Lalique decanters. Personnel costs increased due to inflation, as all, in all other segments, while OPEX increased, reflecting inflation and growing business in all the segment of Glen Turret distillery. EBIT was at plus 0.8 million versus minus 0.9 million in 2023, including the reversal of 1.5 million impairment at La Foriperaga SRL. Let's now go to the slide 13 with the other brand segments, on which we can see that apart from Bentley Fairmont, for which sales were down by 25%, after a strong performance in 21 and 2022, by increasing its revenue by 64% and 43%, we see that all other brands like Grey achieve a plus 42% increase in 2023. Samurai increased its revenue by 11%, Brioni by 17%, as well as Lalique Beauty Service, which increased its revenue by 24%, reflecting also an increase in the third-party sales in 2023. So EBIT ended up at 3 million versus 5.4 million in 2022. So to conclude this part, let's go to the slide 15 to take a closer look at our balance sheet. Here we see that the increase in net working capital, and especially in the perfume stock due to supplies issues, has affected our liquidity by 16 million in 2023. The increase in property, the investment in property and financial in our production facilities has been financed by financial debts and the increase in financial liabilities reflect this financing of investment in 2023. The financial debt has been also significantly increased in 2023 due to the restatement of the license minimum payment commitment as financial liability instead of current liability. Our balance sheet remains solid, and our equity ratio remains strong at 47.3%. So with this, let me hand over to Nina with the last part of this presentation.
Thank you, Alexis. So let's move on to slide number 16. We'll start by looking at the four priorities that I see for the whole group. First, I said it at the beginning already, we will continue to work consistently on establishing the Lalique Group as a first-class player in the luxury goods market. And I'm very confident because we can build on our rich heritage, savoir-faire, and we really have a strong brand. Second, we will pursue growth opportunities within our existing businesses and maximize synergies between them. The dynamic and the thriving teams that I have met in the past give me the confidence that we will excel in that. Third, especially in an uncertain environment more and more challenging, we need to strive for efficiency and operational excellence. Embracing a culture of operational excellence will help us to maintain a competitive edge, deliver exceptional value to our customers, and ultimately achieve sustainable growth. And the first priority, and this is one that is particularly close to my heart, is one that I believe in deeply. Together with my team, I will promote a culture of sustainability, respect, and diversity in all aspects of our organization. Why is that? Because I truly believe that by prioritizing these values, our organization will not only create a positive working environment, but also contribute to a long-term success and a positive impact in the community. So let's move on to slide number 17. Here I would like to highlight the activities we will focus on in 2024 and 25. I have grouped all our activities into three businesses across the LALIC group. So our LALIC crystal business, the beauty business, and the hospitality business. Let me start with the LALIC crystal business. This is our heritage. We are known for excellence in craftsmanship and design, and I repeat, we will build on this. I have started working with a diverse internal team from different parts of the organization already to sharpen our vision and our positioning of the brand. This will then be the basis of all the strategic work that we are doing. We are currently also optimizing our strategic product offering and will explore untapped opportunities. I'm optimistic that we will be able to do that with the competent and passionate people I've met already. We will strengthen our strategic market presence, expanding in the right markets and channels, always with an omni-channel approach. We will open our flagship store in New York by the end of 2024. Very exciting. This will be an important step to strengthen and our positioning also in the US market. And finally, I mentioned operational excellence in the group priorities. We will invest in production capacity and innovation in our manufacture in Wingen. So, turning to our beauty business. We are planning new launches across all brands in our portfolio, as always. But there are a few highlights that I would like to mention. In August, we will launch the Superdry fragrance, a collaboration with this very strong global fashion brand, and we are coming up with a very exciting new concept. We will continue to prepare for the launch of a wonderful luxury Mikimoto fragrance in 2025. We will establish, nurture, and maintain our strong licensing partnerships, and we will explore new ones. Again, to maintain our competitive edge, we will invest in manufacturing capacity and innovation at URI as well. With Ultrasun, we will expand in the Müller drugstore network based on the success we achieved in Switzerland, and we'll move into the DACH region and Eastern Europe. We also, furthermore, we will launch with our new distribution partner in China and looking and expecting to strong growth in this strategic market. Last but not least, I'm turning to the hospitality business, which includes all our restaurants, hotels, but also the wines and spirits, everything that allows you to indulge and enjoy. So what are we doing here? We will continue to exploit synergies with the LALIC brand and create exceptional immersive experiences. This is what makes our offering truly unique and distinctive. We will also capitalize on the cultural differences of the regions in which we are operating. Wherever we are, be it the Glen Turret, our oldest working whiskey distillery in Scotland, or Villa René Lalique in Alsace, we are always deeply integrated with our neighbors and local partners. We will continue to drive innovation and expansion at the Glen Turret. Here I'm talking about projects and expansion plans like the Glen Turret Gin. And we are all very excited about the project of Villa Florhof. We're in preparation for the opening of this attractive hotel-restaurant-bar concept in Zurich. which is due to open in May 25, a new concept that will appeal not just to locals, but also to international guests. So, as you can see, we're still aiming and shooting for the next stars. Let's move on to the last page in the presentation. It is about the financial outlook. Before I start talking about financial outlook, I want to make a few remarks on the market environment. The past year has demonstrated again that the current global economic environment and the geopolitical situation is characterized by uncertainty, and we do not expect that this will change for the foreseeable future. That said, from today's perspective, we expect the impact of inflation to be less pronounced in the current year than in 23, and in particular, we expect the energy costs for Lally Group to be significantly lower than their peak level last year. This brings me to our financial outlook. Looking at the current year, we expect sales growth in the high single-digit percentage range, and we expect profitability in terms of EBIT margin to increase compared to 2023. Regarding our midterm goals, we stick to our midterm goals. We remain committed to achieving a gradual increase in the EBIT margin to between 9% and 11%. And as previously communicated, we expect to reach the target range in 2026. As always, the outlooks are subject to unforeseeable events. With this, I would like to thank you very much for your attention. We are now ready to take all your questions. Roger?
Yes, as a preliminary comment, as this is my last earning call, and given that Nina started only 2 months ago with the group, as in the past, I will answer general questions regarding financial year 2023, and Alexei will provide explanation to specific finance-related matters and questions. And, of course, Nina will take questions related to her position and start as new CEO, as well as questions related to her plans, strategy, and outlook for the group. So let's start. And operator, please, who has the first question?
We now begin the question and answer session. Anyone wish to ask a question may press star 1 on the touchtone telephone. You will return to confirm that you have entered the queue. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Questioners on the phone are requested to use all the handsets and eventually turn off the volume from the webcast. Anyone with a question may press star and 1 at this time. First question comes from the line of Patrick Schwendimann with Zürcher Kantonalbank. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, Patrick Schwendimann, Zürcher Kantonalbank. Good morning and welcome, Ms. Müller. Good morning, Roger and Alexei. You have a lot of projects for 24, like the mentioned better distribution for Ultrasun in Europe, but also new distribution partner in China. You have this new perfume Super Dry and other projects. Could you please give us some flavors how much additional sales you expect from all these projects? That's my first question. Then second question regarding the energy costs. Could you remind us how much this was in 22, in 23, and what's your best guess here for 24 in terms of energy cost? Then number three, regarding the margin guidance for the current year 24, you have mentioned that you expect an improvement versus 23 at a very low base with this 3.9% EBIT margin. What does this mean for the current year? Should we expect something like 5 to 6% EBIT margin? And where do you expect a substantial improvement in terms of EBIT margin for the current year in which segment? And then finally, you confirmed midterm guidance for 26 to reach this 9 to 11%, which is a substantial gap to the current performance. What assumption do you have here for the Lalique brand in terms of EBIT margin for the midterm? Thank you.
Good morning, Patrick. Thank you for your questions. I'll start answering the first one on the various projects 24. Yes, as you said, we have various new projects, but we don't consider Ultrasun and Superdry being totally new, given that Ultrasun has been in China before, and of course then the pandemic hit and we were set back, and we've started now with the same distributor that distributes our perfume brands. So we know that team, and it's a very good company. So it's a little bit challenging to tell you exactly how much this will reflect in additional sales in 24. But I anticipate that the growth in sales for Ultrasun alone should be in the same range than we saw in 23 compared to 22, which was roughly 10 or 11%. As far as Superdry is concerned, the launch will occur in July, August, in selected Superdry stores, and of course, more importantly, in our own global beauty network. So we, of course, the brand is totally new in the fragrance world, so it will take time to build up, but the forecast for 24 is roughly at 2 million euro, and of course, depending on the sellout in the first month, we'll see how many reorders we will receive before the year end. I hope that answers your questions. Of course, the other projects, be it Flohof or Fabric Frontline, this is only due to start in 2025, and we have also one major project on the Lalique retail side, which is our new flagship in New York, but that will open around November this year, so it won't have a huge impact in sales, but definitely a huge impact in terms of brand visibility and PR, etc. On your second question, you asked for the evolution of energy costs. So back in 22, we looked, the energy costs for the whole group were approximately 1.8 or 1.9 million euro. In 23, they skyrocketed to 4.8. So as I said, it's almost, they almost trebled. And for 24 and 25, last year we have signed new forward contracts, so we expect that in 24 energy costs will decrease to 3 million euro approximately, and in 25 to 2.5 million. Of course, this is subject to general pricing evolutions, and also to gas, which we were not able to fully cover, since we still operate our old pot furnaces in the crystal manufacture on gas. That's for your second question. On the EBIT forecast 24, we said that obviously we expect an increase compared to the low 23 EBIT margin of 3.9, but of course we don't expect to get near or very close to the midterm guidance of 9%. But let us keep this range and let's not comment any further for the time being. And then your last question is the EBIT 26 and the assumptions in particular of the evolution of the Lalique segment EBIT. So looking back, I think it's interesting to look back at 22, where we had a very good year, in particular in the Lalique segment, even though there was a extraordinary income, but we had an EBIT margin of 4.5% back in 22. I think that for us, in order to achieve the group overall EBIT guidance, that 9 to 11 rate, we would need to go back to this level in the Lalique segment, meaning 4 to ideally 5%. I would say that's that should be the target range.
Thanks a lot. Much appreciated, Sir Roger.
The next question is from Ivo Ruch with Finanz und Wirtschaft. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, everyone. My first question is about the higher debt ratio. This would be, do you reach any bank covenant with this much higher debt ratio you're having now? And then second question, also a follow-up on this topic, do you consider a capital increase regarding the high debt? And what is the opinion of the shareholder, Mr. Müller, on this? Would he participate in a capital increase? And last question for Nina Müller. While repositioning Lalit Group, do you consider to sell any bad performing brands like the Crystal business, or do you have plans for other plans regarding M&A?
Good morning, Mr. Ruch. I will answer the first two questions, and then of course I'll let Nina answer the third one, which was asked directly to her. Yes, our leverage ratio increased to close to 5, if I'm not mistaken. That's of course mainly due to the increase in working capital, which was necessary to ensure shipments of finished goods, especially in the perfume segment. We expect working capital to decrease, especially in the second half of the year. So we are confident that the leverage ratio will also return to a more acceptable level. Now, of course, we have some financial or credit contracts with banks, and some of them have covenants in there. These are twofold most of the time. It's the equity ratio, where obviously we have no issue at all. And then in some of them, not in all of them, we have of course a covenant related to leverage ratio, and we already contacted those banks. These are two banks in France actually, and pre-warned them about what was coming, basically the answer was okay. No problem for this time, especially given our 2024 forecast and budget, where again we expect leverage ratio to go down, especially also given that we anticipate a higher EBITDA. So we don't anticipate any issues on the bank front, if I may put it this way. In terms of capital increase, no. We right now there are no plans for any rights issue or capital increase. As surely you recall, we increased the capital to finance the acquisition of La Forêt-Perregaux last fall. But of course, this was only Silvio Dent who subscribed to new shares. So no plans at the time being, but of course with Mr. Müller on board with a 25% stake in the company, if there are any such considerations come up in the future, then of course we would have him on board and discuss this any such projects with him, because obviously if we did a capital increase, I'm insisting if we did. There are no plans as we speak today. Then, of course, it would only make sense if anchor shareholders like Mr. Müller, but also DS Group, they own 12%, or Mr. Hans-Jörg Wies, who holds approximately 6%. I hope that answers your first two questions. I hand over to Nina.
Thank you, Roger. So the question was with regards to the portfolio of our businesses and whether we are planning to sell our Crystal business. I can confirm here that we are looking at the overall business portfolio and are trying to increase profitability in all our businesses. There are no plans to sell off certain businesses, and with regards to the Crystal business, your question, I outlined it before. The Crystal business, Lalique Crystal business, is our core, is the core brand, is the brand, is the heritage, is the savoir-faire that we are building on, and that has is like a red thread throughout the whole company. So in my outline with regards to priorities of the group and the priorities within the businesses, the LaLiga brand plays and will play a very important role for us. I hope that is a good answer to your question.
Mm-hmm. One short follow-up. Do you have any interesting acquisitions in mind, or is it no topic at all?
So where we are looking in the future, where we are always interested within the beauty business, acquiring new licenses. That is what I also mentioned it. We are working on nurturing the existing partnerships, and we are also looking into acquiring and starting up new licenses. But that is too early to talk in detail about.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from Manuel Lang with Vontobel. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello everyone. I have three questions for now. The first one is that you mentioned price increases last year to have offset the inflationary pressure on costs. Could you quantify this, and do you expect the pricing impact on the top line to come down this year given the lower inflation? Then the second one would be on inventories. They were increased significantly. Is that only a reaction to the higher demand in the perfume business, especially for LaLiga perfumes? Or what do you expect for inventories this year, meaning what inventory level do you perceive as reasonable for 2024? And then the third and last one would be on hiring, marketing, and sales costs. They increased disproportionately to sales. My question would be, in which segment was this most pronounced? My assumption would be in Ultrasound and Glen Turret. And what do you expect as further costs this year in those segments? Thank you.
Thank you, Manuel. I will take the two first questions, Alexis. So regarding the price increase in 2023, as mentioned, so we increased globally the price for LaLiga by 10-15%, but this has been only effective during Q2 and especially during the second semester, where we have seen an impact on the profitability of the LaLiga segment, and this will going forward in 2024, as we see. Clearly, as Roger mentioned, that the main cost, except personal cost, are energy, and this will decrease significantly in 24 and onwards. Regarding the perfume business, it's exactly the same. We increased the prices by 7-8%, but this has been impacted only the sales figures in our distribution network only during the second semester. So we sincerely think due to inflation decrease in 2024, all our gross profit margin in all the segments will increase significantly. Regarding the inventory level, the second question, the increase is mainly in the perfume segment, both in components and finished goods. This is, I would say, mainly due to the supply issue that we had, especially on perfume bottle, and with the increased lead time on perfume components during 2023. As Roger mentioned, we don't expect a strong decrease during the first semester 2024 because we need to build up especially our inventory for the new license Superdry. But in terms of components, especially, we expect a decrease in the second semester to be back to a normal level of inventory that will allow us to improve our net debt EBITDA ratio in particular, thanks to the decrease in net working capital and increase in EBITDA.
Manuel, it's Roger speaking. I will answer your third question on the increase in operating expenses. Generally speaking, not only marketing and sales, which you rightly pointed to, that there's a disproportion on the increase of those expenses compared to the sales growth. And so the segments where this has been the case is in particular in digital, since we have put a particular focus on our digital transformation and strategy since the new head of digital came in 2 years ago. Then of course Glen Torrett is one of the fastest growing brands in our portfolio, so obviously that needs to we need to be ready, and to we hire new people, and of course inventories increase, of course aging whiskies as we pursue our growth. Then very importantly, but this is not new, but we are still in the process of increasing capacity at both factories, meaning Lalique in Wingen, where, as you know, it's always a challenge to hire new glass workers, train them, retain them, and of course also at the Lalique Beauty Services factory, perfume filling and logistics, as we have seen a huge growth, especially in 21 and 22. So we also need to ramp up capacities there, both in terms of equipment, of course, production lines, as well as staff. Then you mentioned ultrasound, but this is to a lesser extent. There's a smaller team, but we've reinforced the team with some marketing and salesperson, but that has not a big impact. I hope that answers the question.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you.
I will just add one comment maybe also. It's that we had this one-off cost related to the transaction Lafori-Perrague end of 2023 as well. That impacted our cost level in the second half of the year.
Thanks a lot.
As a reminder, if you wish to register for a question, please press star 1 on your telephone. We have a follow-up question from Patrick Schwendimann with Zürcher Kantonalbank. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, Patrick Schwendimann again. So my additional questions are regarding CapEx for the current year 24. What's your best guess here? Maybe also mid-term. And then also for the financial result, what's your best guess here for the current year 24? And again, regarding the midterm guidance, you just have answered my question that for the Lalique brand, you would expect maybe 4-5% EBIT margin. Could you also give us some indications? What's your best guess midterm for the ultrasound brand, for the perfume divisions, and for also for the wine and spirits division? Thank you.
So, Patrick, I will answer to the first question. As usual, we don't provide any guidance related to CapEx. As I mentioned in the presentation, we have two projects in progress this year, which are the Hotel Florov, will be open in 2025, so CapEx will be expense spread between 24 and 25. And we have also a project in New York to be open in October 2024, our flagship in New York. So these are the two main projects that we have this year. And regarding our capacities, investment in the perfume in the crystal segment, in the crystal we invested a lot the last 2 years. So we are happy with the capacity right now. That has increased by 30% compared to this year in 2024. So we don't expect any major capex in the crystal factory, and we continue to invest in the productivity and capacity in the perfume filling factory. But on an ongoing process, so no specific capex in this factory this year. Same for the distillery. We increase the capacity. We are now we can produce up to between 300 and 500 thousand liter of alcohol, and we are happy with this this capacity now. So no further capex, significant plan for our three facilities in 2024.
But this does mean how could you just maybe give a range then for the current year in terms of capex as a best guess?
It will depend highly of the flow of project opening in 2024 and 2025, but we can certainly say that it will be between 5 and 10 million for the 2024 year.
Okay, thank you.
Then Patrick, your other question was regarding the EBIT guidance.
And also net financial results, yeah?
Financial results. Financial result 24.
Yes, that's just as a best guess, some indication here.
Financial result, I won't provide you a detailed financial result, but you know as me that the interest rate will certainly decrease, especially in Europe, with the recent announcement. So we expect a decrease in interest rate related to this decrease in the Euribor. Also, we expect a slight decrease in net debt as we don't expect a significant investment to be financed through long-term financial debt. So yes, we expect a slight decrease in financial result for 24 and onwards.
Okay, perfect. Thank you, Alexey.
Patrick. So your last question is on the EBIT guidance midterm. LALIC segment, I would say that we are targeting 4-5%. In the perfume segment, if things go well, we target 17-18% EBIT margin, which my recollection is right, we achieved in 22, which was a particularly good year. So I would say that in average, EBIT margin in the perfume segment should range between 15 and 80%. And Ultrasan, where we, in the past couple of years we have had an EBIT margin of 4%, that needs to go back to a double-digit figure. At start, obviously a low double-digit figure, but that's definitely the target.
And wines and spirits?
Glenturret is expected to break even this year. So there will already be a positive EBIT for the first time. And EBIT margin will then gradually increase over the following years, but it might take some time until we're able to reach double digits.
So probably not yet then in 26.
On the long run, we target 15% EBIT at Glenturret, but not sure whether we will achieve that already in 26. Actually, it's rather not likely. But we should target the double digit by 26.
Perfect. Thanks a lot, Roger.
Knowing that the gin will also contribute to sales and profits.
Correct. Yeah. Thank you.
Once again, to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone. We have a follow-up question from Manuel Lang with Vontobel. Please go ahead.
Yes, so actually two questions. First one would be again on inventories. You mentioned it was an issue for growth for perfumes. Is this also in connection to the distribution challenges in the Middle East? because their sales declined by more than a third, if I'm not mistaken, or what's the reason for that decline there? And the second question would be on the dividend. Can you give us any guidance like payout ratio or something like that? Or do you prefer to invest in your own operations for the foreseeable future? Thank you.
Yes, so on the perfume inventories, yes, we even with despite increasing our inventories, in particular components, we missed out. We lost some sales in 23, but this was due to the logistic and supply chain issues. As for example, in particular, also our suppliers, typically glass bottles, cap suppliers, etc., they struggle themselves with sourcing of raw materials and production and shipment. So it's across the whole supply chain, of course. But you referred to challenges in Middle East. So yes, distribution-wise, we had to restructure both our distribution in both KSA and the UAE, which are obviously the two key markets of that region, and we've appointed new local distributors in both these markets in the second half of the year. So obviously we are confident that 24 will be on the growth path again. And that those issues are behind us. But this is, of course, only a distribution strategy issue, and it's not directly related with our supply chain challenges, etc. If I hope I understood the question in the right way. And then on the dividend, so obviously the reasons for not declaring a dividend for the 23 financial year is twofold. We intend to conserve cash, in particular for self-finance investments, typically new shop like New York, but not only. There are also plans in Asia and China, and also new projects. Obviously, Superdry launch coming up is always linked with lots of marketing and communication expenses at start. Then, of course, the relaunch of Fabric Frontline and expenditures for ahead of the Villa Florhof opening in particular, but not only, you know, hiring and training the staff, which will happen in the second half of this year in view of the opening in May 2025. The second reason, of course, for the dividend decision this year is more generally is preserving our liquidity, you know, in the context of ongoing economic uncertainties, amongst other links to those conflicts that we have in Russia, Ukraine, and Israel, Hamas, but more generally, we have seen a slowdown in the luxury good industry since Q4 23, I would say, and we don't exactly know which trends and which developments to expect. So that said, it's difficult at this stage to give you any guidance or any information as to what our dividend policy will be going forward, including 24. So I think we should leave it at that for the time being.
Okay, thanks a lot.
But of course, I may add that our goal is to resume dividend payments. That's for sure. But obviously, I'm not in a position today to give you any indication as to what decision will be taken regarding the 24 financial year. Operator, are there any more questions?
There are no more questions at this time.
No more questions. Well, okay, then we would like to thank you, of course, for attending this telephone conference and your participation via your interesting questions. On a personal note, of course, I'd like to thank you for our interactions over the last several years. It's been a pleasure, and I wish you all of you all the best. And I'm very confident that you will work very well with Nina. Alexei, of course, will remain your day-to-day contact as Group CFO. And I will, as said, I will stay around as board member, but no longer at the front line with the financial community and media, of course.
Also from my side, thank you all for being dialed in today and being interested in La Ligue, our group, our future, and our details. So I'm looking forward to speaking to you next time, hopefully in person. In the meantime, please do not hesitate to reach out to us or our media and investor relations offices. Alexei directly, we're here and open for questions. So wish you all a good day. Thank you and goodbye.